She engaged in a brief but furious interior debate, then plunged. You've got, I'm going to say, roughly 2 billion scars, and that's just on the part of you I can see. Roland did not respond to this. Do you have money? He asked. I got $300 when I went back to the house to get my car, and I had 30 or 40 with me, also credit cards, but your late friend said to use cash as long as I could, until you go on by yourself, if possible. He said there might be folks looking for you. He called them low men. Roland nodded. Yes, there would be low men out there. And after all he and his quartet had done to thwart the plans of their master, they'd be twice as eager to have his head. Preferably smoking and on the end of a stick. Also the head of Cy Tassenbaum, if they found out about her. What else did Jake tell you? Roland asked.
That I must take you to New York City, if you want her to go there. He said there's a door there that will take you to a place called Fadag.
Was there more?
Yes. He said there was another place you might want to go before you used the door. She gave him a timid little sideways glance. Is there?
He considered this, then nodded.
He also spoke to the dog. It sounded as if he was giving the dog orders? Instructions?
She looked at him doubtfully.
Could that be?
Roland thought it could. The woman, Jake, could only ask. As for Oi, well, it might explain why the bumbler hadn't stayed by the grave, much as he might have wanted to. For a while they traveled in silence. The road they were on led to a much busier one, filled with cars and trucks running at high speed in many lanes. She had to stop at a toll booth and give money to get on. The toll taker was a robot with a basket for an arm. Roland thought he might be able to sleep, but he saw Jake's face when he closed his eyes. Then Eddie's, with the useless bandage covering his forehead.